One in five Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and deliver with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Come get up. Beware, I live.
IGN Gamescoop.
Okay, I am rolling, so Damon, when you guys are all ready, go ahead and take it away.
All right, now, don't f*** this up for me.
This is a big deal.
This is my big break.
That's a great way to start a show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN Gamescoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week, of course, is Justin Davis. Scoop. We are joined by two very special guests this week. We are joined by former IGNers Ryan Geddes and Levi Buchanan.
Hello.
Hey.
Good to be here.
Longtime Gamescoop listeners will, of course, know these two gentlemen. We'll know their operatic voices quite well.
Thank you.
But if you're a newer viewer, newer Gamescoop listener, maybe you don't know, Ryan Geddes joined me. He was a news and features editor with me way back in the day, probably 2000.
The news desk. We manned the news desk.
2007 wow. is probably when you started?
Yes, it was 2007.
In the day. Yep. And Levi Buchanan, industry legend Levi Buchanan,
sure.
before working at IGN, worked at Nintendo Power.
Yeah.
And so then did magazines, and then I came over to IGN and handled mobile coverage from 2003 on to, was it 11?
Yeah. Also retro game coverage.
And retro game coverage
hosted
for a few years.
Hosted a retro game show
Retrocity,
called
Retrocity, yes.
Cult classic.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can find those on the dark net. Yeah.
deep dark net. Yeah. It was actually many years after that show had stopped that I realized it was not called Retro City.
Retro City.
Yeah.
Yes.
Retrocity.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Oh, yeah.
Because it
That's
was a retro atrocity.
No.
It's just interesting. I feel like, Ryan, I was telling you before we recorded that my very first day at the office was your last day. And so it was, hello, I'm Ryan, nice to meet you.
I asked you to get me coffee at that moment.
Hey, boy. Please get me something.
Garçon.
And I actually, Levi and I didn't overlap, but it was you left, and then I took over mm-hmm. your old beat, and I'm doing something different now. So it's just sort of.
Yeah, well, I think Levi actually recommended you for the job.
Yeah, that's very true.
Sorry. Oops.
Settle down. I don't know how they do things in merry old England, Ryan. Oh, yeah, I guess we should talk about where you are today. Ryan works at CCP Games, working on Eve Valkyrie.
That's right.
Oculus Rift launch title, VR game.
Yep.
Levi is under the EA umbrella working at Chillingo.
Yes. So I'm the developer relations director over at Chillingo.
And this week is the Game Developers Conference here in San Francisco. A bunch of game developers descend upon the city.
That's true.
So I knew they happened to be in town. So what I did is I hid outside the bushes outside Moscone Center, and when Ryan and Levi walked by, I had a big butterfly net, and I trapped him in it, and then I brought him back here to the studio and made them be on the show. Anyway, we have a great show for you this week.
They're blinking Morse code. Help
yep.
me.
Right now.
Yeah, the mentoring kind
of. We're gonna talk about Xbox and PlayStation 4, maybe playing nice together. We're going to play Video Game 20 Questions.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
For sure. But first, PlayStation VR. actually stands for PlayStation Virtual Reality.
Mm. Oh, can I write that? Do you have something I can write that down?
just furiously scribbling notes. Yeah. Virtual.
This week, we've been waiting a long time for price and release window for that device, and now we know $399 US, coming in October of this year.
Awesome.
Have you had a chance to process this information?
I mean, I think it's awesome. I think we have a Vive in the office. I think I'm allowed to say that, and that's a really cool, impressive VR.
Red dot shows up on his phone.
Swarm. No, the Vive's really impressive and does interesting things with like 3D space, with sort of the sensors that it places around your room, and obviously, you know, the Oculus is coming out super soon, and that's a really viable, awesome platform. And now PSVR is here and, you know, relatively inexpensive, and is obviously going to have a big gaming emphasis on it, thanks to sort of the PlayStation backing. So it's really exciting and cool to see three sort of viable platforms that are all, you know, very much overlapping and doing similar things, but coming at it from a slightly different direction. It's cool. It's a cool time to be sort of just plugged into this space.
Well, yeah, this is definitely, this is probably the biggest news story of GDC, this year's GDC.
Mm-hmm. Well, and VR in general is just like, it's just one of the only things that people kind of want to talk about.
Yeah, it's true. $400. First of all, do you like that price tag?
I think it's great. I think people were really happy. I was at the Sony press event where they announced it yesterday, and all the people I talked to were really just excited about the price. I mean, it seemed to fit really well with where people were thinking and
the mood in the room was good.
I would say yes. So like you're saying, there's now a kind of a broad range of VR headsets that people can get into, and I think Sony really gets VR, and they're excited about it. This isn't just another thing for them. They're really the people that I talk to there are really committed to it, and they're doing some really interesting, exciting, creative stuff.
Mm. Yeah,
it's good to see that there are so many avenues now for folks if they're interested in VR. That now there are multiple levels in which they can jump in. They can do Oculus, they can do PlayStation, there's mobile VR. You know, if there's a device you already own, you can slide it in a headset. So it's great just to see so many entry points now for VR.
As these devices go from like sort of whispers and rumors to reality, and people get to demo them and have their hands on them, there's all kinds of interesting stuff that I kind of think I'm sort of curious to see how the conversation evolves. We've seen, I actually haven't had a PSVR headset on my head yet, but Marty Sliva, IGN editor, has used one, and he said that it's the most comfortable like feeling headset to put on its head. Which is like one of those things, like everyone's talking about specs and software and hardware, but like that's such an important thing, like how it feels if this is a device that you're going to be using all day, every day, that as more details like that trickle out, and maybe Sony, if that's a very comfortable headset, that their competitors will have to up their game. You know, there's going to be a lot of interesting things happening over the course of this year.
Yeah, that is one of the sort of questions that people are wondering about is how comfortable will VR be? How long will people be able to spend inside VR? How will it affect different people?
Interesting story about that. So we're making Eve Valkyrie for both Oculus Rift coming out on March 28th and then the launch title for PSVR as well in October. And we've been working on it for a while and, you know, excited to have it launch, build community and all that. But we have an alpha that's been running Alpha's been running for a couple months. We have a really dedicated small group of VR enthusiasts who've been helping us test the game. And we play Valkyrie for an hour or two, and it's comfortable, it's fine, it's no different than playing a regular 2D game. But we're thinking, is it just us because we're making it and we can't really see the forest for the trees? So we come in one day and pull the logs on the game, and it looks like somebody's played for 5 hours.
Wow.
And we're like, that has to be wow.
Like,
that's just a mistake.
In a row?
Yeah, just solid. Like, it has to be a mistake, right? Let's check that out. We check it out. In fact, the guy did play for 5 hours straight, and he was like, it was totally fine, you know, no discomfort, you know, nothing. And I think as long as the hardware guys, your Oculuses, Sony, HTC, and these guys are really focusing on that comfort level and making sure that the hardware, you know, feels just as good as playing a regular game, then it's going to be exactly the same as 2D games.
How big of an advantage do you think is the PlayStation 4 install base for Sony? It's up to, what, 36 million?
Yeah.
And you know if you buy a PlayStation VR, your PS4 will definitely run it. Mm-hmm. Not the same scenario for Oculus Rift and Vive. So how big of an advantage is that?
I mean, I think that's a big deal. I'm a fairly hardcore gamer. You know, I own all the game consoles. I don't have a PC powerful enough to run, you know, the specs that you need to run an HTC Vive or an Oculus. Like, I could get one, and I want to get one. Like, my computer's kind of old, but I think there's a lot of people in the same boat as me. Like, if you have a PS4, couldn't be a more mainstream, you know, gaming device. And if you have one, you're ready for VR in your home. That's a big question for the PC headsets.
Yeah, I think it depends too on the audience, right? And you take Oculus, who are going for that high end, early adopter, tech enthusiast. I want the next big thing. And in a way, it's no different than PC gaming versus console gaming. You have people out there who are always going to want the highest spec, push the hardware as far as it can go. I want to play Fallout 4 like photorealistic versus a console gamer who doesn't care about all that stuff. They don't want to upgrade PCs. They don't want to fiddle around under the hood. They just want it to work. And it's kind of always been the way it is since the advent of console gaming. And I think there's plenty of room for both of those audiences to coexist and find what they want out of the hardware.
I just like that it's within reach now of an additional 30 plus million,
absolutely,
million people.
Sure.
Very exciting.
Okay, if the Rift is coming this month, Vive is next month? Is that right? They at least start shipping out?
No one knows.
No one knows.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, I'm not sure.
But we know that PSVR is supposed to come in October. Yeah. That's 6 or 7 months from now. Is that too late of a start to give its competitors that much of a lead?
I don't think so. I mean, it's hard to say. Like, I'm not an industry analyst, but my sense is that if you wanted to get, like, if you plunk down the money for an Oculus Rift today, you're already not getting one in March. And I actually don't know how far back ordered they are. Like, I don't feel like this is something that, you know, blam, the Oculus is here. It's everywhere. Like, I really do feel like it's going to be kind of a slow trickling ramp up as the year progresses. And it's really kind of Q4 when I think this battle is going to truly be fought anyway. So my sense is that Sony's not too late, but you know, I totally concede that I could be proven very wrong on that if, you know, Oculus and HTC get a really strong foothold over the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's early days, right? I don't think anyone's looking at this year and saying this is the year that, you know, VR is in every household in America, right? So I think the guys who are, you know, the PC guys who are coming out a little bit earlier, you know, they have, they're interested in building that VR community on the PC, but they're not really the same audience. You know, if you've got a PS4 and you just want to plug something in, you're probably not considering an Oculus Rift anyway, and the other way around. So for us, it's great because we're launching a game on, you know, 28th of March, and then we get the rest of the year to build our community and listen to our players about what they want us to put in the game. We're going to be very open with them about like what our roadmap is. We want to hear from them. So we get to work out all the kinks, fix any bugs we have, add in great new content, and then we're ready for another launch in October. So for the game makers who are looking at both platforms, it's actually really great, and it'll eventually end up being really good for players, I think, too.
I actually haven't given just on a personal level. Like, we use these headsets at work, and I know I want to get one, you know, one VR in my home, and I haven't made a decision yet, which is kind of interesting. I guess maybe I'm defaulting to PSVR since I, you know, don't necessarily want to build a, you know, $1,000 or $1,200 PC.
Sure.
But that's a choice that I'll have to make soon for myself, I suppose.
It'll be interesting to see. It's obviously very common for gamers to own more than one console.
Mm-hmm.
But will they want to own more than one VR device? I don't know. That'll be interesting to see how that shakes out.
That's a question.
I mean, it is this middle ground between, like, you wouldn't want two HDTVs, besides for different rooms in your house or whatever, but, like, you buy a display and, like, that's your display, but then you do have multiple consoles underneath it. And, like, a VR headset is kind of both. Like, it's a display and a piece of gaming hardware that has, you know, some exclusive software on it or exclusive hardware features. So it is kind of a middle ground between the two. Yeah, that's interesting.
Levi, what was your first console?
My first console?
I'm going somewhere with this.
I'm going to age myself here, but it is the Atari 2600.
Well, it was mine too.
Yeah.
My point was, you've been playing games for a long time.
Yes.
You've been following the industry, let's say, your whole life.
Yes.
We stand now at the precipice of a tectonic shift, potentially, in video gaming. VR could be a game changer. Looking back, like what other like new advances in video game technology have been like this, where everyone's talking about, everyone's excited about this potential step into a totally new world for video games?
Besides blast processing,
I think prior to this, the biggest one would have been everything going online. That was definitely something that just kind of, there's a before and an after.
Which was, at least for console gaming, you started with the first, with Xbox
Live.
Right, yeah.
Xbox Live.
Well, Dreamcast was online as well.
Yes. Yeah.
There are definitely some like,
I played Phantasy Star Online.
Yes. I know. Yeah.
That shift onto Xbox Live, you think, and then we saw Nintendo and Sony sort of follow.
Yeah, I think that is a huge seismic shift, is when consoles got online. Yeah,
I think too, we've talked about this a lot. You know, people working in VR. I think too, you can point to the 3D graphics revolution that happened because before, you know, there was, you know, there was no Doom, there was no Quake, nobody visualized in 3D. And once that happened, I mean, you remember, it was like, some people were skeptical that that was going to be a thing. And it was like, do people really want that?
Is it going to I'll stick with two dimensions.
Yeah, thank you. But there was an argument, not only about that, but about, is this viable? You know, how can we push the, you know, if you want to push this level of graphics, you got to upgrade PCs, and are people really going to do that? But they did, because it was compelling. I think it's the same argument for VR.
Hmm. And that one kind of went in the hand in hand with, you know, the move from cartridges to optical media for gaming. I mean, those two things happen right around the same time, because in order to get all that information, they had to move off a cartridge.
Mm-hmm. I miss cartridges.
Yes. I love the space that they take up.
So everyone seems pretty bullish on PSVR. It's got a consumer-friendlier entry point. Mm-hmm. You got a big install base. Sony knows a lot about launching hardware. But to play devil's advocate, technically, PSVR is an accessory, and I have a hard time thinking of a video game accessory, hardware accessory, that has been wildly successful in the entire history of console gaming.
Sega Bass Fishing.
Nope.
Fishing pole. No? No?
Rob
no,
the Robot for the NES.
Not Rob the Robot.
Samba.
What about the track and field pad for the
Not the track and field
activator.
Pad.
The activator.
Not the power glove. Not the power pad that you ran on. Like, none of it.
But I think
there was the Wii Balance Board.
The Wii Balance Board is like, maybe that was like one.
And the original
exception.
Kinect had a huge penetration rate.
Yeah, and then it, but like, no one.
I think that it's
no
a good.
No one loved the Kinect.
It's a good question, but you think about what of those peripherals or accessories was more expensive than the console that it
That's
went
also
with.
A point.
And it, I think it's tempting to think about PSVR as an accessory or a peripheral for the PSVR, but or for the PS4. But I think if you asked Sony, in fact, if you listened to their message and what they're saying, it's a new it's a new medium for them. They're talking about a completely new platform, and it is confusing to consumers. But I think the more people start talking about the power of it and what it can really offer, everyone will kind of stop thinking about it as a thing you think of as a peripheral of the PS4, and more of a new technology that's powered by the PS4. Which is
exactly.
Different.
And this is actually where I was going. I think Sony is at least thinking of it as a platform, and Sony definitely has a lot of experience launching successful platforms. Mm-hmm. They've launched 4 successful video consoles, 1 successful handheld. The Vita was like the Vita's like the one like, you know, that didn't really hit. It didn't land.
It's you haven't brought it up yet. Maybe you're going to get into this in a minute, but the PSVR does require the PlayStation camera, but it doesn't come with
it. Yeah,
so it's $400, but like kind of not really. Which I totally get,
even
because
that,
there's millions of cameras already sold, and you don't want people to have a second camera. And like I understand it, but like that price does come with an asterisk. Same with. There are games that don't require the Move controllers, but you kind of do need them, realistically.
It is a little bit more, probably a little bit more expensive than $400, but even with the added expense, it's still the most cost-effective VR option.
Yeah, and there'll be all kinds of bundles and stuff on the holiday that'll alleviate that concern, I'm sure. And I would also expect, did they announce, they didn't announce like a whole hardware, like get a PS4, get the VR, get the...
I think there was a bundle.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I saw some bundle news coming out today.
Sure.
Now, everyone is talking about VR. It is the talk of the town here at GDC. We got an email from one of our viewers, listeners, Paul. And he says, he emailed us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com, just like you can. He says, now that we finally know the price and release date of PSVR, I expect to hear even more games and features announced between now and launch. For many, exciting times lie ahead. But for the folks in the PlayStation community that, for whatever reason, do not plan on getting into VR, do you think this growing focus may actually alienate them? For 2016, at least, there are some huge conventional games still coming, Uncharted 4, Last Guardian, Horizon Zero Dawn, so it does not seem like Sony's first-party studios have all switched over to making VR titles yet. But what if the landscape is completely different in 2017? I think it'll be very telling to see what Sony Santa Monica and Sony Bend's next big games are. His main question is, does this focus on VR alienate more gamers who are just more interested in a more traditional experience?
Maybe. I mean, every first-party studio that's working on a VR game, if you don't care about VR, every studio that's working on a VR game is one studio not working on something you care about, right? Like, that's a real concern. It's sort of a challenge and opportunity for VR is that until you try it for yourself, like, you just can't, like, most people that don't dig it just haven't had a chance to try it yet. Yeah. And so it is that compelling and that cool, and it was something that I was skeptical about. I'm like, I don't know. I just don't know that I care about that. and then you have a real, you know, you play Budget Cuts or some other really compelling VR demo, and you're like, oh shit, like this is like this is this. It becomes the thing once you get a chance to try it. So I don't know. It's tough to say whether if someone's not into VR, I guess I would kind of want to dig a little bit more into why.
Well, I think that's fair. I think it's, you know, I would say to Paul not to worry too much because if VR, you know, ends up not being a thing that everybody wants right away, then the studios aren't going to focus on it, right? So if it becomes so compelling, which I believe it will, that everybody's going to want it, then you're going to see studios giving more and more attention to it. So I think it's something that the market's going to just decide over time. But I wouldn't think that all the big studios out there are going to jump on this right away. I think it's going to take some time. You know, certain developers out there have really latched onto it and decided this is part of the future and that's where they want to be. And that's great, but you know, not everyone's going to do it right away.
Well, Levi, VR gaming on PC and console is launching this year. Certainly, mobile VR has a big future and will play a big part in making VR a real mainstream thing.
Let's think, well, there are right now hundreds of millions of VR devices technically out there right now in everyone's pocket. You know, Android phones, iOS phones, they all work in these off-the-shelf, you know, solutions that you can put up on your face, whether that's, you know, Google Cardboard or Mattel's got their ViewMaster. So if it's something that maybe you need to try out to see if it's something that's going to be relevant to you, that's a great entry point. You know, I talked about earlier is that is an affordable entryway in to see if it's something that you're going to like or something that you're interested in. And it does usually take one really good, really positive experience to decide if VR is for you. And for me, and it's good that you're here, is it was playing Valkyrie. And the whole experience was neat. It was the looking around, being able to target ships with my eyes, and it was so fascinating that it worked. But the moment for me was when I looked down and realized I saw my body was the pilot's body, and that was the moment this thing clicked with me. I was like, yes, this is a real thing that I really want to be a part of.
There's I would have been more concerned about this a decade ago, but as I've said on GameScoop before, everything old is new again, and nothing goes away forever. And there's more, you know, 2D games on Steam now than probably ever before. I used to have kind of a lot of fear. I really, really like 2D platformers. I really like 3D mascot platformers, and it's sad to see stuff go away. And I was excited about the new stuff, but, you know, there was a period where you couldn't really get the stuff that you wanted all the time, and that I feel like that period's over. You know, even if VR is everywhere in a decade, and that's really what, you know, sort of the future of video games is, there is still going to be a massive group of people making Metroidvanias and making, you know, games like Stardew Valley on PC.
Yes,
and
Stardew Valley.
I know, right?
Oh, yeah, you guys should totally geek out about Stardew Valley.
It's the only thing I play anymore.
I know.
So, I mean, I don't feel like I can bounce between, like, right now, the games that I'm playing are Stardew Valley and The Division, and that's really so illustrative of, and some mobile games, like, that's illustrative of what video games in 2016 is. And in a couple years, is it going to be really flashy, insane VR games, and then sort of, you know, interesting 2D, you know, traditional 2D or 3D games? Yeah, totally, we're going to get that mix. Yeah,
I totally agree.
The end of time, we're going to get that mix.
Yep, I totally agree.
I think the only thing about VR that I'm sad about is that it's happening now. There's a part of me that wished this had happened in my gaming career 20 years younger, because this is the first time where I really begin to kind of think about my age and where it exists in video games, and the idea that look at what's happening now at my age, and that I'm trying to think of all the stuff that I will potentially miss, you know, in 40, 50 years of time.
Ooh,
we're gonna freeze you.
Please.
Yep.
We'll wake you up.
Thank you.
Say, video games are crazy now. And you put them back under for another 100 years.
Yeah.
Can we just trade him back and forth? Like, you can keep him for a while, his carbonite frame, and I keep him for a while.
Use me as a coffee table.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. I just want to be useful.
That's all I want out of this life.
Okay, another question I was wondering is, VR is such an exciting topic to people. It's dominating the conversation so much. There are two players that are not a part of the conversation, Microsoft and Nintendo. And I wonder if do they, like Paul was wondering about, traditional gamers feeling alienated, do they stand a risk of being alienated? Microsoft has HoloLens, but that's still years away. Nintendo has NX, but who knows what that's going to be? They've given no indication that they're interested in VR technology at all. So it's like, if this is a big, exciting new dimension for video games, like, where do they not need to be a part of it?
I mean, in my judgment, and again, like, I'm not a professional analyst, you know, I don't sort of sit in on the strategy meetings for these companies. I think that Microsoft's Microsoft is in a tighter spot than Nintendo is. You know, Nintendo's always marched to their own beat and sort of, you know, ran on the strength of their own brands and, you know, the quality of their software. I don't anticipate there being a concern there. If everyone moves this way, Nintendo kind of likes to be zagging when everyone else is zigging. Microsoft, on the other hand, if VR does turn out to be a big hit, yeah, I mean, I have to imagine that they're sweating it a little bit if they don't have, you know, some sort of solution coming in the near, you know, sort of middle term, I guess.
Yeah, I think you can imagine, you can put yourself in Microsoft's position, right, and imagine that they might be a little bit gun shy about something like this after, you know, their experience with Kinect. Great technology, some great games, but, you know, it didn't end up quite being the taken over the world advantage that they thought it might have been.
You are the controller.
What?
What does that
mean? And then the whole, like, media, is it a media center, is it a game device thing that they went through, which was, you know, it's a whole different conversation. But I can see how, you know, they might want to sit back a little bit and say, you know, how's this going to play out? Do we want to jump right in, or do we want to be strategic about this? So
Jump in was also a Microsoft thing.
it's tricky that Kinect sold, I don't know how many millions. I mean, millions and millions and millions of Kinects. And so in that sense, you know, an overwhelming success, right? But still didn't quite manage to break through and reach that, I don't even know how you would describe it, that threshold of like, well, this has just, you know, become a thing. Like it didn't quite reach that level. You know, despite, so it's like, what does success look like for any sort of peripheral or new platform or something that gloms onto an existing platform?
But I think the question that he's asking is interesting, right? Because he's talking about alienation. Like, are gamers going to be alienated?
Oh, yeah, the movie Alien Nation.
Yes, let's talk about the movie
James Caan.
Alien
and Mandy Patinkin. Really?
Wasn't it also a TV
yeah,
series?
Yeah.
Was that the one where they were like allergic to dish soap or something? Like
they drank sour milk.
They drank sour milk to get drunk.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
That was like their like alcohol.
And there was some other thing.
They have like blue blood.
Yeah.
And we're gonna roll a clip of that. Right now.
You brought a clip of it.
Yeah, about a blue blood. Let me set this up for you. But no, his question is interesting. I think if I was just, you know, a general gamer, not connected to the game industry and all that, and I was watching all this stuff about VR, I might have this question of, is this for me? Is this not for me? I can't try it. None of my friends are trying it. Nobody that I know personally has probably ever tried it. So you're counting on, you know, this cloud of information about VR to tell you whether you should care about it or not. So I think the platform companies and the, you know, game developers and publishers and everybody have a lot of work to do to kind of make sure that people understand, you know, what this is and why they need it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a challenge for us at IGN as well. Like, we're kind of figuring out how to illustrate and display this content, and even from like a nuts and bolts perspective of how to even get video out so that we can capture video footage at all, and then from a more like conceptual perspective of like what kind of coverage makes sense.
Have you thought about going directly to people's houses individually, one by one,
and not? I just shout at people on the street. Hey, PlayStation VR is $399.
It is hard because it is a completely, and I'm not just, and I know I'm close to it, so I'm not just saying it here, but it is a transformative thing when you try it out and you get it for the first time, and you can't really explain that to anybody, and people who just, you know, are hearing about it on, you know, GameScoop or reading about it are probably just sick of hearing about it, right? It's like, I want to get this, I want to get my hands on it and play it. I think that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
Levi, what do you think about Nintendo's current challenges with Wii U and launching a new console? It's a little, don't really know what it is yet. We know it's coming, at least some information's coming this year.
Tell us, Levi.
I think, as always.
Just as like a Nintendo fan.
Sure, as a Nintendo fan. I'm always excited to see what they're up to. Some of my favorite games over my entire lifetime have been Nintendo games. So no matter what, I'm always looking forward to seeing what they're going to do next. Nintendo is always full of surprises. They always have a quality threshold for themselves that is heartening to see and usually results in some amazing stuff. So whatever they have announcing this year, you know, I'm definitely, you know, looking forward to definitely looking forward to finding out. Do they have challenges? The whole industry has challenges, but the whole industry also has a bunch of opportunity as well.
Nintendo is pretty resilient. I actually love the GameCube, I love that controller, but that was not an especially popular console. It was sort of the bottom in terms of declining console popularity for like two or three consoles in a row. And they came back and were bigger than ever, right? So it's like the NX, like, Like, the Wii U is a massive flop, but I don't think the past predicts the future, especially when Nintendo is concerned. Hmm.
All right, there actually is other news aside from VR this week, though, that needs to be discussed.
Indiana Jones, right?
Indiana Jones 5 and Young Han Solo. Wow. How did your audition go, Levi?
It went poorly. Turns out they wanted a young Han Solo.
No, we're talking about Xbox has introduced that cross-network play is a thing that is possible on Xbox One, meaning like cross-platform between Xbox One and PlayStation 4. Players on Xbox can play online with those on the same game on PS4. The first game to support this is Rocket League. What I wonder is, so Sony had a response to this. Maybe it was a little cagey. They said, PlayStation has been supporting cross-platform play between PC on several titles, starting with Final Fantasy XI on PS2 PC back in 2002. We would be very happy to have the conversation with any publishers or developers who are interested in cross-platform play. They stopped short of actually addressing Microsoft and addressing the potential of having cross-platform play with an Xbox One game. But what I wonder is, I'm sure there are numerous business and technical reasons why Xbox One and PlayStation 4 games don't play together. But from the consumer's perspective, is there any reason why all games shouldn't?
No.
All right.
I think it'd be great. I think it's a great announcement from Microsoft.
Yeah, I mean, strictly from a consumer perspective, absolutely. Like, it makes... People don't understand or don't care. Like, my friend has Call of Duty, I have Call of Duty. Maybe we can play together, maybe we can't because we're on different platforms. That makes no sense. Right? Mm. You're completely right that there are significant technical and cultural is not the right word, but just, you know, I don't know. Like, these companies don't have a reputation of playing nice and, you know, cooperation. So there are major hurdles there. But, yeah, strictly from a consumer perspective, totally good news all around, right?
I think if you were to ask the, you know, Sony and Microsoft, and what their issues with that might be. It's probably, some of it's technical, and some of it's about how the systems work together, and some of it's also just making sure their customers are taken care of, and that, you know, when you connect another community to your community, just making sure that, you know, your customers are, you know, cared for and not you know, you can control what's happening between these communities, and there's...
I mean, I kind of can't even imagine, the logistical, I kind of don't understand, like, abuse reporting and even like, displaying of gamer tags or display names and invites to different parties and chat, like, just even from, I'm non-technical, but, like, just on the surface, I'm like, just feels almost insurmountable. Like, I feel like we're years away from...
Have you seen the movie Hackers with Angelina Jolie?
Sure,
it's like that. It's like giant cubes floating around in space.
They just got to hack into the mainframe. And
yep,
it'll be
if
fine.
They do that, it's fine. Everything's fine.
Yeah, I guess it's easy to imagine a world where all games on all platforms play nice together, and that sounds great. But yeah, actually, now that I think about it, you bring up a lot of really logistical challenges.
Well, thank you, Damon.
That would have to be overcome.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that it happens, and I believe that it will happen. I think that these companies compete, you know, Microsoft and Sony compete on a lot of really important vectors, and I don't think, you know, sort of segregated multiplayer communities needs to be one of those or should be one of those, that's even good for anybody.
And they'll listen to players, too. Yeah. If players are clamoring for this and really saying this is what we want and really hammering that home, they'll listen. So I think the bigger an issue it becomes, the more you'll see it happen.
All right, now is the time on GameScoop when we play Video Game 20 Questions. This is where you, the viewers and listeners, suggest a game. I'm the only one on this panel that knows what the game is, and my friends and colleagues have 20 yes or no questions with which to guess this mystery game. And our suggestion this week comes from Paul, again.
All right.
I don't think it's the same Paul. I think it's a different Paul.
Screw us, Paul.
Paul the second.
Should I start?
You may start.
I normally start with a goofy question, but I'm worried about you two.
In what way?
You're just new to the game.
Yeah, I'm a total new.
Goof it up, Justin.
I'm probably more likely to like overuse the number of questions. I'm that guy. Like, have I really asked 10 already? Sorry.
Yes, 11. Do you play as a human? Are you a human being?
I do not think you are technically a human.
What are you
in
doing
this
to me?
Game?
What are you doing to me, Damon?
Like, I do not think you are a human.
Can we unpack
that? Is this the
that?
Way it's like? Is this
yes! I'm, trying, this I'm is... trying to be fair. I'm trying not to mislead you.
Human.
Okay.
Maybe humanoid, but not a human.
Okay.
Are you a robot? That's not an actual robot? Question.
Robot?
Robot. All right, we go down the line.
Okay.
You're next.
Is this a, and they have to be yes or no questions, right?
Yeah.
Is this a science fiction game?
I don't think you would consider it a science fiction game, no.
Okay.
Did this game come out after the year 2000?
No.
Okay.
This game come out after the year 1990?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, so we got a decade.
Yeah.
We're in the 90s.
Mm. Okay. Was this a Nintendo game?
No. That's five questions.
Was this a 3D game?
No.
It's a good question.
Okay.
The answer is no.
Okay.
Okay, okay. We know it's not Echo the Dolphin.
Well, so we know it's Vector Man.
It's there's a decent-sized chance it's Vector Man. No, but it's not a Nintendo game. But I guess I'm unclear on what that means. Is that not, does that mean not on a Nintendo platform?
I meant, was it playable on a Nintendo platform?
The answer remains no.
Okay.
Okay. Is this playable on a Sega platform?
Yes.
Okay. So a 2D... human-esque
humanoid.
Yes.
Human-humanoid.
Okay, so...
Is it my question?
Yes.
Oh, God. Okay. Did this... Was this a side-scrolling game?
Yes.
Hmm. Okay. Is this game based on... Was this game based on an existing license?
No.
Okay.
I think...
You can guess.
Yeah. I mean, is the developer still in business? It's Vector Man. It's Vector Man. It might be. It might not be Vector Man.
I
find that's my answer to everything.
I know. Me too. Just in life.
I do not think this developer is still in operation today. That's 10 questions.
I don't even know how to narrow it down to determine whether it's Vector Man or not.
Was this the only game in... this series?
Yes.
It's okay. Not Vector Man. Unless Damon forgot about Vector Man 2. Crap. Well, I wasn't even thinking of alternatives. Rystar? Is he humanoid?
Anthropomorphic. Yeah.
Can we sum up?
Okay. Yeah, let's
we
take
got a
stock.
Humanoid.
In the 90s.
In the 90s.
Sega.
Playable on Sega, but we don't know it's Sega exclusive.
But not playable on a Nintendo platform.
No, but it could have been an arcade game as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
2D. Side-scroller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was this game made by Sega?
Was
Sega the developer?
No.
Because he already answered that they're not in business anymore. He doesn't know if the developer's in business anymore.
Oh, my mistake. Crap! Oh, that was a rookie mistake. That was really bad.
Pull it together. Come on, man.
You have eight questions left.
I'm going to blame this on you. Screw up.
Under 10 questions.
Okay.
All right, who's
yeah, that was a dumb question.
This
is the 90s.
Yeah.
Sega. It was the only game. Oh, well, that's the other thing. It was the only game. There was no other game in this. Mm-hmm. It's a one-off.
Oh, yeah,
what are the systems that split the 90s then? There's Genesis and Saturn.
Yeah, but it was 2D.
But there's Genesis, Saturn, and Dreamcast.
Yeah,
all
and
split
Game
the
Gear.
90s. But we're talking about Sega machines.
Boy.
Game Gear. Sega
Could
Game
have been
Gear.
A Dreamcast.
Okay, fair
game.
Enough. Fair enough. Okay.
It's not. But we know. I mean, we could narrow it down further. We could just say, is it a Sega Genesis game? That might be worth a question.
Lay it on us.
Is it a Sega Genesis game?
Yes.
Okay.
Was Altered Beast a Genesis game?
Yes.
What did you play as?
A man beast.
A bear.
A man beast humanoid.
But that was
a
were
dragon
by Sega.
Were tiger.
Oh, you're right.
That's what's throwing me off. The developer question's what's throwing me off. Because it's like, I was like, oh, well, there was that Aladdin game, but that was Capcom. They're still around.
And Aladdin is a human.
Well, who's not around anymore? I mean, Acclaim? Were there any Genesis Acclaim side-scrolling?
Acclaim's gone. There's a
Does your character wear a hat?
No.
Okay.
One of these days, the answer is going to be yes.
No, your character
we're gonna,
does not
we're
wear
We're going to blow the doors off
I might
this thing.
I might blow a question here. But
well, you can't do any worse than
Are you pointing the finger at me?
No, I'm...
Do they wear a scarf?
Was it melee combat or shooting combat?
Yeah, you got a yes or no question.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Or. Was it a melee focused combat game?
Okay. Now hold on. Are you defining melee as strictly hand to hand combat
or sword play?
Okay. Then the answer is no, not melee.
Okay.
So
that's 15 questions.
I don't like it. I don't like this one.
But to be fair, it is a little bit of a gray area. But no, it is not strictly a melee game.
I'm still unclear on genre. You said side-scroller, and I've been picturing a platformer. A
2D side-scroller. I feel like, do we need
like
to...
Is it a brawler?
Do we need to know more about this character? Like if we know who the hero of the game is, if we can... I mean, because all we got is
humanoid
to go on. But it's
not sci-fi. Okay, does this game take place in the United States?
Take it away, Justin.
Does the game take place on Earth? Is that a good question?
That's... Sure.
If that will help you narrow it down.
No, does it help you?
Not really.
Okay, then forget it.
So with five questions to go, let's take stock.
Has anyone ever lost this game? Are we about to be the first?
A 90s
we often lose.
Sega Genesis game starring a humanoid that is a side-scroller. Isn't really a melee combat game.
Okay, so it can't be like a ninja.
And the developer is no longer in business, to my knowledge.
Ninja? Ninjas are
It can't
humanoid.
Be. They're melee.
Yeah.
Has to be a shooting kind of game. We're assuming. I mean, it could be a spaceship. It could be a side scroll. It could be a shoot 'em up.
Damon wouldn't do us like that.
How do you know? How can
he
you
might.
Trust him?
He might.
Trying to think of some of those goofball side scrolling shooters that didn't have spaceships in them.
Yeah.
Like he got us pretty good.
Any Japanese stuff?
Yeah, like the Parodius stuff.
It won't
like
be
that.
Any of that.
Okay.
We go broader than that.
Okay.
It's like I wouldn't pick something that you guys would never guess.
Okay.
You did pick Blaster Master once.
Yeah. You should know Blaster Master.
That was one of those times where I find myself screaming at the
Levi knows.
No, we're being screamed
at. Blaster Master.
We're being screamed at right now.
Like Costanza running out of the bathroom. Say Vandalay.
And you want to be my latex salesman.
No, we're in real trouble right now.
There's an obvious question we're missing here.
Yeah.
Something obvious. Could we ask questions around... Okay, are we in... It is Genesis. We know it's a game.
Yeah, we narrowed that down.
Do we need to find out if it's a launch title? Like, would that help you guys? Because I don't.
That would.
Launch
title would immediately narrow it down to about 18 games, or it would blow it open to 9,000.
But how comfortable are you with the 18 games to know? Like, you could at least know you're picking from that. Like, how would that help us or not?
Does this game recognizably take place on Earth?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
I don't know what that does for us.
And I just, because I'm worried about, I don't want you to burn a question. The Genesis launched in 1989.
So it's not a launch game. Gotcha.
Okay.
But it could be early days. Humanoid. I feel like that's the part that's going to unlock this, is if we can narrow down what that character is.
We also know they don't wear a hat.
Would male female help?
Yeah, so there is that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is this character male?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, could it be like we're like flashback on both consoles, or like Alone in the Dark, or some of those?
But those are human. I mean, those are human characters.
Very human. They're like ActRaiser. Yeah, those are all human beings. Human beings.
Three questions left.
We
definitely have human attributes.
That's what I'm trying to think. Is it because you have these like humanoid characters, like say Dynamite Heady or Decap Attack, where it's
goodness gracious,
it's a character with arms and legs, but it's not a person.
Rayman. But he's got floppy
ears. He's a
ears.
Rabbit, right?
No, that's the rabbits. The actual Rayman, he's like a dog thing. I don't know what Rayman
I'm trying
is.
To think,
he's got floppy dog ears.
He's like...
And like a dog
Pluto?
Nose.
Or like Goofy?
Yeah.
Well, but it doesn't take place on Earth.
That's true.
That question is interesting, too. Like, but it's not sci-fi? It doesn't take place on Earth, but it's not
And that's
sci-fi
why I'm trying to think of games like Rocket Knight Adventures or a Decap Attack, things like that.
Super Mario Brothers doesn't take place on Earth, right?
Right.
And it's not sci-fi.
Right. This is around the time in 20 questions where I usually just give up.
Can one of us call Sam?
Phone a Sam.
Jared?
Yeah. You have three questions left. Got to bring it home.
All right, what do we got? We got some good
Win or lose, we got to bring it home.
Some razor blade questions.
were there like, is this a game that we would have that there were like commercials for that we would recognize and remember?
Commercials like on TV?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Okay. Well,
18.
Was the developer Japanese?
Yes.
That's a good question. We should have asked that like 10 questions ago.
So now I'm
you have
to
one
really
question left.
Oh, some of those platformers where you did have, like a Decap Attack or Dynamite Heady or Rocket Knight.
Japanese developers.
But Rocket Knight is Konami, so it's not that.
Because they're still in business. Well, who was Dynamite Heady and
what Japanese
But those are
developers.
Those
not
are second,
in business anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Are you sure it's not one of those bullet hell games?
Pretty sure.
Like...
So humanoid, 2D, Genesis.
No, we're hosed. We're hosed. Game
We've
over.
We've got one question left, don't we?
Yeah. You have to guess the game or it's over. And you all die.
Levi, we're going to leave this to you. You know your Genesis games better than I do.
Let's see.
We're in trouble.
Don't mess this
we
up.
We are in very we're in complete trouble.
People are
now.
So upset with us right now. Yes. I'm sorry about this.
Someone is screaming.
I regret all the jokes and japes from the earlier the questions, all the spoofs and goofs.
This is why you don't goof on 20 questions.
Oh, man.
So my personal guess is Decap Attack.
Okay.
Judging by some of that stuff, because it's not sci-fi, but it is
a
humanoid
criteria.
Character that does attack with projectiles. It is a Genesis game. It's the 90s. That developer may not be around anymore.
Sure.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Going with Decap Attack?
Yeah.
You were so close. It was Dynamite Heady.
Oh!
You said it twice.
That was a runner-up question. That was
it's like Beetlejuice
question.
If I'd said it one more time.
Developed by Treasure, which I don't think is around anymore. Treasure, I don't think.
Yeah.
I mean, not to my knowledge.
Oh, that's sad if so.
Published by Sega in 1994, single-player platformer. You throw your head, and you can, like, equip different types of heads.
Yeah.
But he has a head. He's humanoid. Don't think it takes place on planet Earth. Not sci-fi.
We got pretty close.
We did get close.
We got
into the head-chucking neighborhood.
Yeah. And Decap Attack is also, although I don't know who the developer on that one is, and I don't know if it's Japanese or not.
It is a Japanese game, but it was then like Decap Attack. It got reskinned when it came when it came here.
Interesting.
I'm surprised we got that close.
Yeah,
that's respectable. That's a respectable.
I'll take that. I'll take that silver.
Yeah.
I thought for sure you would get Dynamite Heady because it's like a classic Genesis side scroller. Okay, Treasure. Like everything they made on Genesis was gold.
Yeah.
Honestly, because I don't know for certain if Treasure is out of business yet.
Yeah, I mean, what was their last game that made it?
I think you might have Dirty Dogged us on that.
Oh, right.
I don't think
if I had told you they were still in development, then you would have got it like that.
Yeah. Let's let the internet decide.
Yeah. Or we'll look it up. I don't know what Treasure's last game would be.
Yeah.
But
they could still be making, like, small little games.
I mean,
that we just...
Sure. I hope they're still. I do not wish them to be out of business.
Yes.
Wow. That was intense.
That was good on Paul.
Whew.
Yeah.
Good stuff, Paul.
That's how I do it. Ryan and Levi, I'm so glad you could join us for.
Thank you.
It's so great to be here.
Yes, absolutely.
Hopefully, it won't be another 5 years before you guys are back on. That is all the scoops we have for you this week, though. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address gamescoop@ign.com. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Levi. My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop. We're out.
I shook you in my dream as hard as I could stand when I stopped you. Fell away, pockets full of sand, waking up a world away, cutting through the air, 7,000 miles to kill, I'll see you when I'm there. Just look into my eyes, you're watching it decay, twitching in the net again, trying to get away. I am living in between the pleasure and the pain. Emblems glowing in the night and mounting in the rain. I've been modified. Try, but I've been modified. my dream as hard as I can stand. When I stopped, you fell away, pockets full of sand. Waking up a world away, cutting through the air. 7,000 miles to kill, I'll see you when I'm there. I've been modified, I've been modified. Well, I guess it was worth a try, but I've been modified.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.